the S&P, the ASX stocks.
This is Motley Fool Money.
Welcome to Motley Fool Money, the podcast that's never in recession. I'm Scott Phillips, and with me, as always, is Dr. Nirvan Mahanty. G'day, Doc.
G'day, Captain. How are you?
I mean, I'm excellent. It's getting close to Christmas time. For listeners who are listening, we did miss one podcast, which still grates at me, but we hope to be with you every single week through the festive season. So no matter what you're doing, whether you're at work, at home, on the beach, taking a day off at the cricket and pretending you're sick, whatever you're doing, make sure you have your podcast app. We will be with you every Friday-ish between now and New Year. Mate, we've got a big show. We're going to talk about GDP growth, or lack thereof. We might mention the RBA, because how can you talk about GDP without mentioning our friends at the Reserve Bank? We'll talk about the aborted, or maybe aborted, TPG and Vodafone merger and what it's meant for both those companies and for the big T, for Telstra, your favourite company.
I love it.
Plus, we will talk about Amazon, one of my favourite companies, and a personal shareholding.
I hold that too. You just can't claim it to be your favourite.
It's my favourite. I'm not saying no one else owns it. I'm just saying it's my favourite.
I like it too.
You like it, but not you. Come on. You prefer Tesla and Apple. Don't try and get on my Amazon bandwagon, okay, dude. This is my bandwagon.
I'll leave you.
There's only room for me. Get out of the way.
Okay, fine. You can have it.
And if we've got time, we may talk about a couple of other things. Mate, before we start, I have a correction to make. We don't do corrections because, well, partly because we're normally right, but mostly because we don't get many people send us corrections.
What type of correction is that? Is this a market correction you're talking about or some other correction?
I don't do market corrections. Our listeners know that. I only do up-rections. If you're not sure about the up-rection, feel free to go back and look at our previous podcasts. The up-rection is when the market goes up 10%, not down 10%, because I don't believe a correction is always when the market goes down.
Mm.
Sometimes going up is a good thing.
It goes up more than it goes down.
Now, here's my correction. So we talked a couple of weeks ago about Afterpay, and I think I said there was $900 million of outstanding loans by Afterpay. One of our listeners, Tim Brown, he messaged me and just said, hey, I think you said that, and we did. And he made the point that it was $900 million across the entire sector, not just for Afterpay. So I said I'd correct the record, and Tim, thank you for your email. We have done that. I dare say Afterpay is probably 90% of that number, so it's probably not materially or different in any quantum sense. But just so everyone knows, we do try and do the right thing, and we have got a correction to make, and that's it. So there you go. 900 million across the buy now, pay later sector, not just Afterpay.
Okay.
Now, mate, GDP is in the news. It was a couple of weeks ago. We didn't talk about it last week, but it's back in the news. The numbers were, can we say anemic? Is that the right way to describe the latest GDP numbers?
It's okay, not great.
Quarterly growth was pretty ordinary, and it's got people, well, pretty worried. If you're that sort of person, you're starting to think about whether or not you've got ongoing growth or whether the economy's in for a bit of trouble. Tell us what happened and tell us what's going on.
So the GDP growth came in at, 0.3%.
Which is not that far from zero and not that far from negative, right?
It's not that far from zero, but I mean, it is still 0.3 above zero.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you need below zero twice in a row to get a recession, by definition.
Yeah.
Whoever made that definition, somebody made that definition.
Mm-hmm.
So it is not good. And I think, you know,
recession is two negative quarters in a row, right?
That's the definition.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not yet there.
No, but people are saying this is the warning salvo, right? This is the shot across the bow that says, guys, 2019 is going to be ugly.
Yeah. So, I mean, the trend is down is what I think people are saying. There's some explanation here that can be made up. One is that house prices in Sydney and Melbourne, which are our two biggest cities, together, I mean, have seen what prices fall about. Maybe 10%, give or take, in the last 1 year.
Yep.
People are feeling maybe less rich because their equity in their houses have gone down.
The wealth effect
okay. is making it, you know, so it's all this virtual thing. Like, you know, your house was worth something. Now it's less 10%. It was, you know, it was worth $1 million. Now it is worth 900,000. That's, you know, that feels like you've lost money.
It does feel like a big loss, particularly if you bought it recently. You paid $1 million, bucks, for example. Now it's worth 900,000. You're thinking, I'm paying this bastard off every month, every couple of weeks. I'm paying off money for a losing investment here. What happens? Is it going to keep going?
Yeah.
And so I kind of keep the wallet shut.
Yeah, you keep, and you try to save, maybe you try to pay down, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
And that has a flow-on effect on the economy. And
that's an ugly flow-on effect, right? Because if we're all spending less.
Yeah, there's less money to go around.
And if there's less money to go around, businesses hire less, they invest less. And if they're hiring less, then there's less people spending. And if there's less people spending, there's less business hiring. And round we go until we end up in a recession.
That's possible. Everything is possible, right?
Everything, okay. So get off the fence before you get splinters, dude. What's happening? Is this the beginning of an ugly trend, or is this a blip and things are going to get better?
Well, okay. So I think, this is my view,
yes.
And you'll say that people are going to come with their pitchforks and knives and all sorts of things after me. I think house prices have got more to go.
If people chase you with the pitchforks, that's none of my business.
Why kill the news bearer? There's no point. I mean, killing the news bearer. I'm just telling what I think is the truth.
I think you've been cheering on the declines, mate. I think
I personally own a house and I feel it.
Me too.
But you know,
well, bank owns some of mine. I own the rest.
But yeah, I mean, whatever. I mean, that's we own a house, right? And you know, we're feeling the same effect. But the thing is, I have not gone to the bank and asked, you know, what's the valuation, right?
Right,
you know,
right.
So if you do that on a regular basis, you will feel the pinch. But
you kind of know it's worth less though, right?
Like,
even if
you
haven't gone to the bank, there's a fair guess that your house and my house are worth less now than they were worth 12 months ago.
Yeah, and you know, again, if people, it matters a lot on the margins, where if you have borrowed more than you should have, and you know, you're now pretty tight in terms of how you are spending your money, then it does matter. If you've borrowed comfortably and you've paid 20% down or whatever you are supposed to pay, then it matters less. It matters, but it matters less.
All right, I want to drill in that just quickly, because I think that's the next possible risk. Right now, no one is feeling the pinch on repayments.
Yeah.
Because the prices have gone down, but nothing else has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Interest rates haven't gone up, or maybe they got up a little, maybe 0.1%
yeah.
3 months ago or so. But thus far, it's only a consumption impact. And it's the psychological, the sentiment impact of what if people stop spending because of house price declines.
Mm.
No one's yet, touch wood, in mortgage stress, at least no more mortgage stress than they were, you know, a month or three months ago before the GDP numbers came out. Is the wealth effect real? Are we in line for a recession, or is this going to be a one-off blip and maybe things aren't as bad as the doomsayers are suggesting?
Okay, I'll try to give a nuanced answer, which, you know, and you're better off at giving nuanced answers than I am. So
what you mean is I've got more opinions than underwear.
I've already given a caveat there. So my thinking was the house prices will fall 15% to 20% from their peak.
Right.
Okay, we've got 10%.
Okay.
So maybe we've got another 5% to go, or 20%, or another 10% to go. I don't know, but that was my guess.
Right.
Just based on how much debt there is, right? But my theory was also hinged on the fact that the Feds, which is where I'm talking about Mr. Powell and the US Feds and so on,
yes,
keep on increasing the rates there, which will have a flow-on effect on the rate at which we borrow.
Mm-hmm.
I have changed my thinking a little bit, and I think I think that the Feds are actually not going to increase rates at the rate I was thinking they're going to increase rates, because they, I think that, you know, they want to watch the data and see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they think that maybe there's a new normal in terms of, you know, maybe we're getting close to the normal interest rate environment,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's not like 5%, maybe it's like, you know, 2.5-3%. And mm-hmm. then if that's the case, then they're there. If what I think they're saying is the new normal, or if I'm interpreting this correctly, then there's not going to be much further impact from overseas rate increases.
Okay.
And if that does not happen, if there's no significant impact from overseas rate increases, we shouldn't see a significant increase in the interest rate environment here. In fact, you know, RBA could push the rate down if it wanted to just maintain neutrality. So I think my chances of getting 20% housefall is actually reduced.
I like to hear that.
Yeah. And I'm changing my position a little bit here. if it was down 20%, I would consider myself to have won the bet. But, you know, I think the chance of that happening has reduced. That said, I think the risks are still to the downside, just because of, you know, our house prices are just expensive.
But what about economically, mate? So that the house price falls are arguably causing the wealth effect, which is arguably causing a reduction in consumption.
Yes.
So house prices aside and defaults aside, are we going to see an economic recession because of the wealth effect? Is this GDP reduction the shot across the bows, the clarion call to what's coming next, or is it going to be a one-off?
Oh, we could, right? I mean, I think there's a chance that there might be one. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't had a recession for such a long time. People don't even know how it looks like.
27 years.
You know, this is like a record, right?
Yep.
So, and if we have one, it could
not be just a record for Australia, a record for the world.
Record for the world, right? So it's a world record. And, you know, I think the closest second is what I think Netherlands.
Yeah, 25, 26
years, right? So, I mean, we could have one.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'd know better next quarter.
When the recession finally arrives, we'll know it's here.
Well, if it drops further, I think I would be more confident in saying that we are right about there in terms of getting a recession.
Right.
Right now, you know, it's just one quarter data. I don't know. I mean, the trend is down, but I do think that if this continues, we could get a recession. I mean, you know, it has all these flow-on effects. You know, housing demand goes down, housing construction goes down. That, you know, has, you know, that's a big sector, causes a lot of other flaw. That's what I think. What do you think?
Very good. I'm a born optimist, right? So here's my thing about generally investing and think about the economy. I'm generally optimistic, and that means I will absolutely be wrong when the pessimists end up winning every down again. So I'm going to be optimistic right through, knowing full well that at some point that's going to be wrong. Mm-hmm. I know, though, that history suggests that being optimistic is far, far more sensible and more profitable than being pessimistic, because markets go up more than they go down. They go up further than they go down. And so the reality is going to be that if I'm, you know, I'm going to be right more often than not by being optimistic. And so, you know, I will always be slanted that way. And so my bias is absolutely out there up front. I do think that there's a decent chance the wealth effect does cause us to have economic pain of some description. Whether that ends up in two quarters of negative growth is a very different question. I do think as long as we don't have an external shock for unemployment, we'll probably be okay. So unemployment's very, very low right now. We are in a situation where consumer spending is okay. China still wants more of our stuff. The Yanks are still growing. There's every probability, I think, that the world economy stays strong and keeps us out of trouble. So if I'm a betting man, I'm saying no recession next year, but it's absolutely possible. That being said, as I said, if we jumped every time someone said there's a risk, then you'd never be investing. You'd spend your life in cash and you and I'd be out of a job. So I think I'm cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
Get more Motley Fool money advice at fool.com.au/MMM.
Mate, let's go to, speaking of Federal Reserve governors and central banks, the RBA did something relatively unusual this week.
Very unusual.
So the headline in the AFR says, Australian equity valuations aren't heightened, says the RBA. Now, I don't know, I'm a little bit annoyed here, mate, because this is our turf, right? The RBA is now all of a sudden in bloody stock forecasting. That's our job to do stock tips. So, look, Governor Lowe, I know you listen, and we appreciate you listening. That's an official lie. We don't know if he listens at all, but, you know, he probably does. He's a smart guy. He wants to know what's going on. He probably listens.
Well, maybe he listened, and that's how he came up with this idea.
We don't know for sure that he doesn't listen, put it that way. So, Governor, thank you for all the work you're doing. How about you leave the stock tips to us? We need to keep a job somehow. That was what he said. So Marion Kohler, though, is the central bank's head of domestic markets. That's a job, isn't it? Head of
domestic markets. That's a good job.
I don't know what that person does. Anyway, she said there's no reason to view the local shares as overvalued. She said, and this is a quote, in the global low interest environment, of recent years, some commentators have raised the prospect led to the search for yield by global investors. This has bid up the price of risky assets and thus increased the risk of a sharp correction. One simple way of measuring this is for the price to earnings ratio, blah, blah, blah. By this measure, Australian equities are not showing signs of heightened valuations. In other words, she's saying P's are about right.
Mm.
They're not heightened. They're not cheap. So she's kind of saying that's roughly right.
Mm.
So two questions. What the heck is the RBA doing giving stock forecasts? And B, are they right?
I don't know why they're doing stock forecasts. I mean, okay, I get a sense. I mean, what they're saying is, I think this is their gentle way of saying, guys, just don't invest in property. Invest elsewhere. There are other places where you can get better return.
Or does Marion Kohler want a job at the Motley Fool?
Oh, okay.
Marion, if you're listening, look, Governor Lowe, just let Marion know that, because we know we don't know that you're not listening, put it that way. So if we don't officially know you're definitely not listening to the podcast, which means maybe you are, in which case, let Marion know if she wants a job, come and talk to us.
Yeah.
We're
good people.
We're keen for that.
Yeah.
We're always looking for good people.
Yeah. So yeah, as I said, the RBA makes a pitch for Australian shares. I think they're making a very sensible statement saying, look, there are so many different ways, different types of investments, right? There are bonds, there's cash, the shares, you know, and in bonds, you can go various types of bonds, government bonds, corporate bonds, chunks bonds, junk bonds, Mahanti bonds, Phillips bonds, James bonds.
Bonds underwear.
Bonds underwear. All sorts of things.
I feel like we have said the same joke twice, dude. I need an immediate laugh. It saves me repeating myself. All right. So lots of options.
Yeah. So
why is the RBA not saying go buy bonds or go buy property?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, they're trying to, steer the market, saying like, you know, the property is not the only class that you have. You don't need to be, you know, super leveraged to have an investment. You can, you know, slowly build your wealth. I think they're all good things that RBA is doing. I think as Yeah, I see no fault with that. I would take...
As a shares guy, I'd expect you to say that, by the way.
Well, if they were wrong, I would say that they were wrong. You know, I'll try to be more truthful than, you know, just try, just instead of keeping my job.
I do like it. I'm going to throw an ad in very quickly, right? You say keeping my job. What I love about The Motley Fool is we get to say pretty much anything we want as long as it's decently reasoned.
Yeah.
We don't have a house view. We're not out there trying to just push the company line, which is kind of nice. So look, we're all shares guys. That's why we're in the job. So you'd expect some degree of preference there. But we absolutely do get to say pretty much anything we want.
Well, I'll disagree with her a bit, you know, in terms of saying that the share market is cheap. I'm going to disagree there because, you know, it's...
She didn't say it was cheap. The valuations weren't heightened.
Yeah, okay, the valuations weren't heightened.
It's not expensive,
which is not the same thing as saying cheap.
Right.
But I'm going to even disagree with that to some extent.
So it's cheap.
I'm not even saying that. What I'm saying is that it depends, you know. If for example, you're looking at the market and let's say you're looking at the ASX 50, then you're looking at all these big companies, big, slow-moving companies that are not going to be growing fast. And if you're buying those at 15 times earnings, is that not cheap or is that expensive?
The banks are 10 times earnings at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and a lot could happen.
Cheap at half the price.
Yeah, and a lot could happen if the property prices go down another 10%.
We're back to property.
So I mean, you know, like, look, I think there are better investment. I mean, I agree there are great investment opportunities in the stock market, in the Australian stock market. But it's not necessarily the case that the market as such, the market, is, you know, not expensive. It depends, you know, what you're looking at, right? I mean, and I would say some classes are expensive, some are not. Some have futures, some maybe not that bright, right?
And she's looking at the overall market, right? So she's not saying it by everything, that the market as a whole doesn't look overly expensive.
Yeah, well, maybe fair, but I'll say nuanced view is important.
I'm much for outlandish statements, dude. It's much easier to sell a podcast from making outlandish statements.
Okay, it's cheap.
You should know nuance doesn't sell, mate. It's all about the clicks. You don't get nuance saying, well, things are moderate right now. Okay. You get clicks by saying it's expensive or it's cheap or it's going to crash or it's going to boom. That's where the clicks are.
House prices are going to crash.
Oh, dear.
Motley Fool Money. Financial advice for real people, not trust fund hippies. Sign up for the newsletter at fool.com.au/MMM.
Speaking of your favourite stocks, let's talk about Telstra for a second and the ACCC. Now, we'll wrap all this together. So Telstra, TPG, Vodafone, changes afoot in the telco market. It wasn't that long ago that TPG and Vodafone said, guys, we've got a deal. We're going to merge. We'll form a third player. There'll be Telstra, there'll be Optus, and then there'll be this Vodafone TPG group, this so-called merger of equals where the PR spinners had their way. This was a Vodafone takeover of TPG. Vodafone gets the whip hand. 51% of the merged entity is owned by Vodafone Hutchison Australia. And that was all fine until the ACCC stepped in during the week and said, hey, guys, about that merger, how about no? And all of a sudden, TPG shares fell 18%. Telstra shares fell 4.5%. So firstly, okay, the merger doesn't go ahead. You'd expect TPG shares to fall because arguably it's a bigger, better, more valuable business merge. There was a indicative merger price and value. So that's right. But then Telstra shares fall 4.5%. So tell me what the ACCC said and tell me why Telstra shareholders are running scared.
Okay. So what ACCC is saying that, you know, is taking the view that the merged entity, which will be a bigger entity, may not actually be as price competitive as the current setup where you have a TPG run by Tio and the Vodafone and you've got Optus and you've got Telstra. They're talking about the reduction of competition. Essentially, you know, if you have three consolidated entities versus, you know, four, maybe they'll all play nice with each other and, you know, we'll stabilize at a price. Maybe. So I think that's the ACCC view there. The market's view seems to be more or less in concurrence with the ACCC's view, because what, you know, if the Telstra shares went down, what basically the market is saying is, well, if this doesn't go through, this is not good news for Telstra because there's going to be strong competition from TPG.
Right.
Right. So I think that's what it, I mean, yeah.
And so that just to break this down a little bit, the market's basically agreeing with the ACCC, right?
They're agreeing
with it,
yeah.
The market's saying, hey, we reckon if there's only three players, prices go up, profits go up, everyone's happy. Telstra is a more profitable business with only two major competitors rather than the current three.
Yeah, that's what exactly the markets are saying.
And the ACCC is kind of saying the same.
The ACCC is kind of saying the same.
Is the market right?
Well, I mean, possibly. I mean, I'm...
more bloody nuance. Jeez, dude, come on.
Okay.
Give me something outlandish.
Okay. I would have thought that although KPG is the junior partner, given the fact that you're still on the board with still significant amount of shares,
This is David Teo, the guy who started TPG's kind of forerunner. They merged and remerged and remerged. They bought AINet. They merged with Sol Pats NBN business back in the day. The NBN, the Newcastle television station, not the broadband provider.
Yeah.
Built this thing from effectively nothing to being a multi-billion dollar business, made himself a billionaire in the process.
Yeah.
The absolute driving force behind TPG's success.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of stepping back, right? Like Vodafone get more than a half. He becomes the non-executive chairman. It kind of feels like Teo's saying, okay, I'm done. It's all yours.
I mean, that could be true. On the other hand, maybe then, you know, this is a way of saying, you know, the changes are not going to be maybe as fast-paced and it's going to be a bit slower. And I'm going to slowly try to steer this into a, you know, a competitive 21st century telco. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's another view. ACCC is basically saying that's not going to happen. Maybe Teo is going to cash out and leave, right? And maybe ACCC is right. I don't know.
To be fair to the ACCC, I guess that what they're saying is the risk of that happening. They're not saying it will happen, just to be fair to them. They're just saying, look, it's possible this happens. And if this happens, that'd be bad. And we don't want to risk it being the case.
And ACCC is doing their job and they're doing it well, and, you know, give a pat on the back for that. I mean, you know, the balance of probability sort of thing, right? Do I really know exactly what's going to happen now? But the market clearly agrees with ACCC.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's what it is. Exciting times.
Yeah, look, I think you're right. I think this is, I tend to agree with the ACCC in the market for what it's worth. We don't have a great history in Australia of oligopolies, so two or three players. Monopoly is one player. Oligopoly, two or three, with decent market power. We don't have a great history of cutthroat competition in those sort of market environments, I have to say. And I would, if TPG had bought Vodafone, I think that I absolutely, if I was a telco, I'd be running desperately scared. You know, when David Teo buys Vodafone and says, now I'm coming after you guys, I would be scared as hell. But when Vodafone buys the bulk and the bureaucrats from Europe run the business, and I don't mean that necessarily in a negative sense, but Teo is the freewheeling entrepreneur. The Vodafone managers are professional managers whose job it is to kind of build value for the business and done in a very, very different way. If I'm Telstra, I'm much less scared of a Vodafone-controlled TPG than a TPG-controlled Vodafone. Separately, though, when they say to Teo, sorry, dude, no deal, all bets are off, and Teo says, okay, I'm back to my $10 all-you-can-eat data plan in Canberra. I'm going to destroy the mobile market and take some share. I'm pretty scared.
Yeah, you're possibly right. Maybe this curveball is going to result in a change of the deal. Maybe they'll do a 50-50 deal, or they might rework the deal or something.
I can't work out how they'll have to say it. I don't, because these are national telcos where national networks matter. I can't really work out how you rework a deal like this in a way that doesn't have the same assets being merged together. I don't really know how they please the ACCC. Maybe there's some enforceable undertakings around price or something, but it's not like you can kind of say, okay, well, we'll sell 15 base stations over here and therefore won't be a problem. No one else is going to buy the rump of whatever's left over. I don't really know how the two merge in a way that keeps the ACCC happy. Maybe they'll find a way. I'm pretty skeptical. I just can't see, and again, I'm not the ACCC, so I don't know what they would approve, but I don't know how you merge two businesses that are national by definition and then all-encompassing by definition. You can't sell half your broadband customers because no one's going to buy the other half. I just don't know how they do it.
I don't know. What I basically meant is maybe they can change the look at changing the ownership structure that they've got right now, right? They've got 49-51. Maybe they can do 51-49.
I'm not sure if that's why the ACCC, though. Do you reckon?
I don't know. I mean, if the issue is about, you know, who controls and who's running it, and you know, that's what we are basically saying, is that, you know, we view the Vodafone people running the business as being more cautious and more Telstra-like, right? Versus TPG running the business, which is more TPG-like, right? I mean, that's one possibility. And maybe they can say, you know, fork off AINet as a separate business, float it.
Yeah, maybe that's right.
Yeah, and then
As long as the ACCC believes there's alternative, then maybe there's the option to get rid of it. That's maybe right.
Yeah,
that's the one brand they could really get rid of, right?
Yeah, well, it's a brand that people like, and it's got a strong following. So that's one possibility.
Motley Fool Money. For more, go to fool.com.au/MMM.
Let's finish off quickly with a story about Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Amazon's been really underwhelming in Australia thus far, according to most people. I am frankly not either surprised, nor do I care that it's been a slow burn in Australia. Bezos is after Jeff Bezos, the CEO. He's famously looking at decades, right? So he doesn't really care how quickly he dominates Australia. He just knows that he will at some point, is my general view. So, you know, some people are disappointed by it. I'm a little surprised it hasn't been bigger, but nor am I particularly worried. That being said, Amazon has been rumored to be launching into a program called Subscribe and Save, where you can buy regular household items, think groceries or toilet paper or nappies, the kind of things you buy regularly.
Dishwasher
detergent, right, and save a fortune doing it. It has the potential to really carve a decent stake out of the big grocery and discount department stores. So Woolies, Big W, Aldi, Coles, Kmart. Threat or non-event?
You know, I have mixed views on this. So mixed views because I think, you know, the threat of Amazon is sometimes, you know, again, I hold shares since one of our largest positions. So I totally believe in it. But I think what has happened, as I've said multiple times, is I think the threat of the Amazon was a first mover advantage. You know, this is a low margin type of business, right? And which requires scale. I think in the quest of becoming sort of the leader in the US, they have sort of let the international sort of slide. International growth is not spectacular. And that there's tons of competition internationally where the international competitor in those locations are number one.
Right.
So I think it's a question of, this can totally be a disaster for Coles and Woolies if they don't respond appropriately.
Right, okay.
Right? But if somebody responds appropriately, this is not a problem, which is what has happened, I think, in a historic looking at various places, looking at what has happened in India. You know, Flipkart has responded very intelligently in Latin America. Mercado Libre has, you know, various players in Europe have responded intelligently. It's a question of the local ecosystem here to respond intelligently, in which case it's great for consumers and not necessarily a big threat. If people hide, you know, cover their eyes and, you know, dig a hole and, you know, try to hide, then it's a problem.
Yeah. I think that's right.
I think that's my view on.
And going back 25 years, if Walmart had been a little more alert and aware and frankly agile at the time, we might not be talking about Amazon at all today, right?
There's
a circumstance under which Amazon and Netflix both go broke because Blockbuster and Walmart respond appropriately.
Yeah.
25 years later, we kind of know what to expect. Woolies and Coles have no excuse for not being prepared for what Amazon might do to them if they don't do something about it.
Absolutely. And since you brought up Walmart, the other day I was looking at the list of businesses Amazon has bought online. It's a phenomenal list, and the rate at which they're growing their online business is also phenomenal. And they're doing really well internationally.
This is Walmart, you mean?
I think Walmart.
I think you said Amazon, I'm not sure. But
I meant Walmart. And so, you know, sometimes businesses, you know, take time to react, and that basically meant that they have lost the U.S. market. But in the same sense, you know, the market, this is such, like, retail is such a big market, right?
Yep.
That there's opportunity for players who are willing to be nimble.
I will say, for what it's worth, and very quickly as we wrap up, I think one thing I would say, in my view, is it's one thing for existing players to know what's coming.
Yeah.
It's another thing for them to have the guts and shareholder support to do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
If you've got a player, let's pick, I don't know,
Harvey Norman.
Harvey Norman's a good. Well, yeah. So okay, let's say TVs, right? In a scenario where you're selling TVs and making, say, 40% margin, you're saying, okay, I'm selling 1,000 TVs, I'm making 40% margin. Here's my underlying business model. Someone comes in with a 20% margin business model, say a Kogan or an Amazon, and says, I'm going to do it for 20% margin. Now, Harvey Norman's got really only two choices.
It's got only
one choice, right? If it's going to try and beat out the competitors and maintain its position, it has to cut prices or find another way to compete, and that's going to cost the margin, or it's going to increase their cost of service, right? And so that's the innovator's dilemma, right? Harvey Norman was the original category killer. It did to the mum and pop stores, as the Yanks say, the mum and dad stores, we would say, to what Amazon's threatening to do to them. And it cut prices. The small stores couldn't or didn't respond, and so went out of business. Chemist Warehouse has done the same thing to community pharmacy stores. You have to, and there is no choice, right?
You have to adapt.
The question is whether Harvey Norman can and will say to shareholders in this circumstance, guys, we know we made $100 million last year. We're going to make $70 million a year from now on because we have to cut our prices to stay competitive. Or it can say, let's hold prices and let's put our head in the sand and hope that nothing happens. In the meantime, shareholders will be happy because we're delivering the same level of profit.
Yep.
But they're risking the business. And I think that's the one risk the incumbents face. And we'll see whether Woolies and Coles and Kmart and Big W and the others are, I don't know if I want to say gutsy enough or
willing, just willing.
Enough.
You know, they have to be willing to take
it. They have to be aware of it and then willing to do it.
Yeah, willing to do it. Right.
But it's going
to
hurt either way, right?
It is going to hurt.
You can't compete with Amazon and not have it hurt.
Yeah.
You either stick your head in the sand and hope they go away.
Yeah. Which is going to kill you.
unless they go away, right?
Yeah, unless they go away. But yeah.
All right. That's a nice way to finish. We're not going to go away. We're going to be back next week. But in the meantime, that does wraps up for today. And don't forget, you can, we think you should, subscribe to the Triple M Motley Fool Money podcast through iTunes or your favourite Android podcast app. I have my new Pixel 3 docs. I'll be using the Android podcast app for that one. Ooh. And if you like what we're doing, please do give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Tell your friends, leave us a review. It helps other people find the podcast. And if you're enjoying it, there's every chance other people will too. And don't forget, you can get some foolishness straight from us at fool.com.au/Triple M. That's it for this week's Motley Fool Money. We'll be back next week with another dose of foolish insight.
Fool on.
The Motley Fool and people appearing in this program may have positions in the companies mentioned. General advice only. Please speak to your financial professional to understand how it may pertain to your situation. Subscribe to the free newsletter at fool.com.au/Triple M. The Motley Fool operates under Financial Services License 400691.